It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about water. We're going to talk about what's happening with Lake Michigan and its rising water levels and rising water levels throughout the Great Lakes. And we're also then going to talk about oceans and the incredible garbage dumping that has taken place in the Pacific Ocean in particular to create this just enormous area of sickening garbage, which there may actually be a way to clean it up. So on the negative side, we have a lot of garbage in the Pacific. And on the positive side, there may be some ideas as to how we're going to get rid of that. So I'd like to talk about how we're going to make things better, and we'll definitely do that. We're going to start off, though, with Lake Michigan, the Great Lakes, and what is going on with the water in Lake Michigan. I've boated on Lake Michigan now for nearly 40 years, everything from duck hunting in the fall to water skiing in the summer. And I feel like I know the lake pretty well. And like a lot of you, whether you're in Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, listening this morning, or in Minnesota, what we're seeing is a lake that is rising rapidly and, in fact, is headed very close to its all-time record high, which was set back in Lake Michigan, was set back in 1986. And the difference between the record low, which was hit in just 2013, and the record high in 1986, is about just about 3.5 feet. Just about 6.5 feet of difference. That's a lot of water difference. And just a few years ago, we were dredging harbors as we were headed towards a record low. You may recall that from basically the late 90s all the way through to 2013, the lake just kept dropping. Boats couldn't get in and out of harbors. We had docks that were way from the shoreline, and boats couldn't even get to them. We had beautiful sandy beaches up and down Lake Michigan, wherever you are in the state of Michigan in particular, just gorgeous shoreline, south shore of Indiana, wonderful sand dunes. And then the water began to rise in 2014, and it began to rise at the most rapid rate that has ever risen since water levels have been recorded, and here we are just really 4 years later, and we're within a few inches of an all-time record high, and people are screaming about the erosion, the loss of sand, houses going in the lake, beaches being closed, and probably a lot of you are wondering how this is all possible. Back in the 1980s, we were talking about building up the Outer Drive in Chicago, as I've mentioned before. The lake was rising, the city, and now in Chicago, Milwaukee, lots of areas were being inundated. We're back into that scenario now where we're at a near record high. And the reason for this, it's hard to explain the dramatic shift from a record low in just 2013 to a record high, or very close to it, right now. But one of the things is that there's the St. Mary's River in Sault Ste. Marie, which comes out of Lake Superior. And Lake Superior is really the governing water, natural water outlet for the entire Great Lakes. What happens in Lake Superior is, because it's higher in elevation and it's the largest of the Great Lakes, what happens in Lake Superior is going to affect everything downstream. Lake Michigan's like a bathtub. It has no outlet. So as the water comes out of Lake Superior, there's a control lock, which regulates the river flow and it's regulated by an entity which none of us have ever heard of called the Lake Superior Water Board. Lake Superior is also at an all-time record high, and its elevation water levels change have been about 4 feet from low to high. So Lake Michigan's about 6.5 feet. Lake Superior's 4 feet. So Lake Superior is at a record high water level, and it is increasingly releasing water out of the locks on the St. Mary's River, which means it comes into Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. Lake Huron does not have anywhere near the amount of water that Lake Michigan does, and it does not have the extreme flows as far as high to low, but it also is nearing record highs. So we have this event which has really not occurred before. We have to go back to the mid-1980s to have these kind of water levels, but it is getting the attention of people for, if you count all the lakeshore miles, thousands of lakeshore miles, because the amount of water is unprecedented, and it does not appear that it's going to go down anytime soon. In fact, it might be going up as Lake Superior is going to be releasing record amounts of water into Lake Michigan and Lake Huron in an attempt to drop the Lake Superior water levels. So if you own a place along Lake Michigan or Lake Huron, chances are you're not very happy, and chances are it's going to get worse. There's something else that's happened in the last 100 years that is not natural and is helping to exacerbate the beach erosion, and that is the flow of sand down Lake Michigan came from north to south, and as it moved southward, it just kept depositing itself along the shoreline. Well, now we have break walls, we've got revetments, we've got cities, and the flow of sand has been changed. So there is not the accumulation of sand that there once was. And Illinois Beach State Park is a prime example of this. A gorgeous state park beach up in the northeastern corner of Illinois. For those of you who haven't been there, unfortunately, there's nowhere near as much of the beach left as there was just a few years ago. But this is the last vestiges of what Illinois looked like before we settled the entire shoreline. Illinois Beach State Park is a really terrific place to walk and hike in the dunes. In the middle of summer, it's the most visited state park in Illinois, but in the spring and fall and winter, which is when I have visited it a number of times, to walk on a desolate beach in the midst of millions of people is really quite an experience. And it's also one of the places where piping plovers are breeding, and it's a very well-known, well-managed state park in the state of Illinois. It is suffering unbelievable damage as a result of the recent rise in Lake Michigan levels. And according to the scientists who have been studying it, the beach is losing dunes that took over 500 years to build in a matter of just months. So it is, and the loss of these dunes is caused by storms that we've had, which have come at a time when we've also had extremely high water. Illinois only has 63 miles of shoreline, but in that 63 miles of shoreline, we've got huge issues. In Evanston, the Dog Beach is completely submerged. In Highland Park, Rosewood Beach, which was just a couple of years ago named nation's best restored beach, was blitzed by powerful storms in April, and it has been badly damaged. Up at Illinois Beach State Park, as I was talking about, the dunes have just been destroyed. And there's been expensive monitoring of the dunes, but it has lost as much as 75 feet of shoreline in just the last 4 years. So the loss of shoreline is unprecedented in Illinois Beach State Park. It took about 500 years to protect, to build a ridge, protect wetlands in the Illinois Beach State Park. And in just a matter of literally 4 or 5 months, 500 years of shoreline has been eroded. So this is a situation which, because we live in a world where we have so much greater information change than we ever did before, we're much more aware of it. Back in the 1980s, we didn't have the ability to communicate the way we do today. So when Illinois Beach State Park was eroding at a rapid rate, we really didn't know about it. And when the locks and dams up at St. Marie's River were being opened up to put more water in Lake Michigan, we didn't have a way to really communicate. Today we do, with all the social media and direct communication. So we're much more aware of these things, but this is not unprecedented. It has happened before. It will happen again. The lake will go down again. Why it has gone up so quickly in the last 4 years is really the result of two very extremely cold winters. Lake Superior, when it freezes over in the winter, there is no evaporation. Two out of the last 4 winters, Lake Superior has had its largest ice coverage in recorded history. Put on top of that a lot of snow, and you have a perfect prescription for a very dramatic and rapid rise in the lake water levels. On the other hand, if we move into a milder period and we have more open winters, as we did throughout the late 1900s all the way through to 2013, Lake Superior will begin to drop, and it could drop very quickly. So this is not something that has not happened before, as I said a moment ago, but right now we are at the, as the pendulum swings, we are at the dangerously high pendulum swing point, and there's far more damage done to coastlines and the property and the wildlife when we're at the extreme high, which is where we are now. So maybe in 5 years we'll be talking again about this. We'll be saying, can you believe how the lake has dropped 5 feet and we have these wonderful beaches back and the sand is being replenished? Or we could be saying we're continuing into record territory. And if we do, it's going to be a lot of property loss, a lot of damage, and a lot of things lost permanently along the shores of Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. So that's the story of what's going on with Lake Michigan's water. If you're looking outside and you think, gosh, I think that's higher than it used to be, the answer is it is. It's about 6 feet higher than it was just 5 years ago. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of America and Chicago, 720 WGN, and I'll be back with a discussion about what's going on in the Pacific Ocean and how we can maybe clean up some of the garbage that is just wrecking havoc. But in the meantime, we first will have a message from our longtime sponsors, Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland, Chevrolet Dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And moving from Lake Michigan, we're going to go out to the Pacific, and they call it the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Well, it's more than a garbage patch. It's disgusting. However, there could be a device that's being invented to eliminate this horrible amount of garbage that has accumulated off of Hawaii, between Hawaii and California. It's just enormous in size. It's called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, but it is a size, and it's between California and Hawaii, but it's a size that has about 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic that are floating in this patch. And it's a size that is about the size of Texas, I guess, as far as the size of its actual composition if you flew over in the air. And it's a toxic soup of plastic and garbage that has accumulated from around the Pacific Rim and has come together in the ocean currents, as I said, between Hawaii and California, and it lives there. And it is death to anything that gets in its way, but it also is an indication of the amount of plastic that is taking place in our world today and how plastic does not go away. Plastic breaks down over time into just tiny, tiny, almost microscopic. You almost can't see them. In fact, you can't see them in some cases as it breaks down. But it does not go away. It has a lifespan of hundreds of years. So the plastic, when a plastic bottle blows out of your boat or knocks out of your car window and lays on the ground, its remnants are going to be there for hundreds of years. It won't look like a plastic bottle, but the plastic toxins are still there. So there is an effort underway with an interdisciplinary team of experts and entrepreneurs who are launching a system that is expected to remove up to half of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch over the course of the next 5 years. And it's founded by an individual who was with the Ocean Cleanup Foundation when he was only 18 years old then. He's from the Netherlands, and he's combined with research and prototypes to create a revolutionary ocean cleanup machine. It's in the testing stages now, but if it works, this could be an incredible system to take up garbage, not only in the ocean, but in lakes. If the system works, it's hard to describe, but it works like a floating window shade with a series of impenetrable screens that hang vertically from floating pipes that are up to a mile long, and they're weighed down by suspended anchors that are put down almost 2,000 feet into the ocean. Because the deeper ocean water moves more slowly than the surface water, this allows the system to move slightly slower than the garbage and it collects it. So you've got these window screens, and the moving system absorbs the force of the sea life, and the sea life passes freely through the screen underneath while it captures the plastic in its fixed system, and therefore it does not have the bycatch of trawling system and things like that. So and envision this sort of this carpet on the top of the ocean, which is silt sifting through, collecting the garbage. And once enough plastic is captured in the thing, a signal is sent to a mission control center, which is in San Francisco of all places. And then the mission control center tracks the precise location of the system, and it deploys a ship to collect the debris, which is then brought back to land and sold to manufacturers who are in the recycling business to create recycled goods, such as sunglasses and things like that. So it's a biodiversity, bio-friendly approach to reversing a human-caused problem. It's far too early to know whether the ocean cleanup project will be successful, but it is the first attempt at cleaning up this horrible, horrible amount of garbage in the Pacific Ocean, which is growing. So the marine life is at a lower risk. If the garbage is cleaned up, all this plastic, marine life in the Pacific is at a lower risk of confusing microplastics for food, which is what happens. And they ingest it, and then they either become poisoned or we eat them when we eat food. So I'm not, you know, painting a dire picture here. I'm just saying that we have a situation in the Pacific which most of the world does not know anything about, which in fact is going to lead to an ever-increasing, it's much like the apostate zone in the Gulf of Mexico, which is a dead zone where nothing can live. In the Pacific, there's this garbage zone where nothing can live. So if this system works, we're going to be able to clean up half of the, it's estimated half of the garbage in the Pacific can be cleaned up with this in 5 years. And I'm sure there'll be offshoots off of this if it works. And it's being done out of California by a group of entrepreneurs where so many entrepreneurial ideas come from. But this one is good for the environment. It's good for business. It helps us recycle more. And maybe in a few years, we won't be talking about the Pacific garbage patch because it will be eliminated. But we should be talking about is what's causing it. And that is the whole Pacific Rim, particularly Asia, which dumps just this phenomenal amount of garbage into the Pacific Ocean, and the ocean currents, unfortunately, are bringing it our way, and they have brought it our way. So we think of the Pacific as this magnificent, fabulous ocean, and it is, but in the middle of it, between Hawaii and California, is an area about the size of twice the size of Texas, that is nothing but garbage. So on that note, I'm going to sign off for the day. The good news is hopefully we can clean it up next week. I'll be back with more on the Great Outdoors. I'm going to talk about this issue of bicycling in the wilderness. And I'm also going to talk about a remarkable American who passed away recently, who most people have never heard of, but who did as much to help clean up our water and air and change the course of conservation in America as anyone who ever has since Theodore Roosevelt. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.